We won't do anything to oppose them. We really won't, brothers and sisters. We'll walk with a pure mind and a pure heart with a sincere motivation. Scripture says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, that this was after Abraham, he had given the offerings and the tithing unto Melchizedek. As he began to convey with the king of Sodom, he said to him, I don't want your riches. I don't want you to give me nothing. Because you'll say that it was I that made Abraham rich. He said, but this great reward is going to come from Yahweh. It's not going to come from man, but it's going to come from Yahweh. And it says in this verse here, I love this. It says in Genesis 15:1. And after these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abraham in a vision. Abram. Saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Yahweh is our great reward. He is the one that rewards greatly. And he did a profound thing with that seed of Abraham. Past age, his wife Sarah had no ability to conceive. And yet she conceived and brought forth the child of promise. What Yahweh has promised, he promised by his name. What he declares or what he swears by, it is by his name. He doesn't swear by the earth. He doesn't swear by the fountains of water, but he swears and he declares things by his name. He always says, I am your blessing. I will reward the exceedingly great. And the reward shall be exceedingly great. They're not going to come from the king of Sodom. They're not going to come from Melchizedek. It's going to come because you obey me. And you receive my judgment and my truth. That's how it's going to come. And out of thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. I'm going to cause to rise up out of your loins a child of promise. And out of that one shall the blessings be bestowed or the reward upon the nations of the earth. And everyone that received this profound truth by faith. Now, Abraham did what Yahweh commanded him by faith. He just did it because he trusted the Father. Faith is not a new thing. It's been around. It's been around. Because he's put in every man the measure. And that he is the mighty one. That's why man, what man has done because of our upbringing, our parents have corrupted that. They didn't know. And so they allowed all kinds of gods and all forms of gods to entertain us. So they didn't know. They didn't understand what that measure of faith was for. It was to acknowledge the Father. So they began to train them up in iniquitous ways and sinful ways. And they began to worship every kind of God. That's why you have so many gods today. You got the hip-hop God. You got the basketball God. You got the football God. You got gods galore. And within the context of the sub-gods, you got basketball players. The Allen Iverson, the Carmelo Anthony, or whatever his name is, LeBron James. You got these sub-gods. And they began to produce sub-gods. Illegitimate children out of wedlock, and folks began to relish in that. It's wrong. They even justify their wrong. They justify their wrong. That ball player, what's his name, James, just produced 19 years old, not even married to the girl. It's whoredom. They produced the baby, and everybody thinking that's a glamorous thing. That's so nice. It's an abomination. It's a bastard before Yahweh. It's not a righteous thing. And yet they think, oh, he has a baby boy. He has a bastard. They take it to some whorehouse and they're going to bless it. And say, what a marvelous thing. And so every little gal in the whorehouse wants to have a baby by him. Because it's a source of income to take care of their lustful lifestyles. You see what you will of me. That is the truth. And so that's why Satan pay his gods. He rewards them mightily. He rewards a boy like that $100 million almost a year just to be a fool and to seduce and to draw millions of these fool heads to bow down at the altar of Satan. And he sells them from everything from toilet tissue to nothing that they don't even need. They're gods. And that's what they are. You don't have to concur with me. That's all right. I know what I'm preaching. And I'm a preacher too. And I won't bow down. And I won't allow any of us in here to cause me to condescend or to say, well, he's a nice man. He's not a nice man. He's a wicked child of hell. And he's going to destroy many. That's why they're paying him handsomely. That's why they pay them that way. That's why. And the fools love it so they make sure they get it. They pay him even the more. The fools. The fools. You always said that I will reward you, and that is where our reward comes. How? Well, we obey what he says. Keep his perfect law. Shaul said that the law of Yahweh, they're spiritual. The laws of Yahweh, they're spiritual. Don't tell me that he has done away with his law. Messiah fulfilled the law. He showed us in that body that we can walk in the pure order, being governed by the Father, being instructed by him, and keeping his charge. We can do what he tells us to do. How is it that you do what flesh tells you to do? You obey everything that your flesh commands you to do. If it tells you 1 o'clock at 1 a.m. in the morning, you're hungry, you'll get up and find something. If it's nothing but a piece of bread, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It tells you you're sleepy, you obey that. It tells you you don't want to get up, you don't get up. It tells you you're tired, you're tired. You obey everything your carnal mind tells you to do. And when Yahweh commands us to do something that will bring forth the excellence of his blessings or his reward to us, then we say we don't have to do that. Lies. You got to do everything he tells you to do. Everything. And that is the truth. That's a blessing for his people. And that is the truth, saints. Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. That Shaul write to the precious brothers and the saints that had a tremendous compassion upon him in the midst of his great trials and afflictions. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, he says, I want to tell you that you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyful the spoils of your goods, the things you had. You knew my bonds and what my situation was. And it caused your heart to delight greatly to take of your substance, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. He said, because you took of your spoils, of what you had, to be a blessing to me. And the only way you were able to do that, you knew in the kingdom or in the kingdom you had a more enduring blessing or reward that you were going to receive. That's why this world cannot give to the Father today. That's why they don't love. That's why they don't give all. They give what they want. And they give him the tidbits. They give him the trash of the residue. He said the only way you could do that because you understood my calling, my purpose, and what I'm set forth to do. That I must suffer anything for the name's sake of Almighty Yahweh. For I must express that this one, even unto the Yehudims, that this one that they reject, that this is the power of Yahweh in flesh. That he is the hope. He is the salvation. And yet those there that knew what Shaul was, he was speaking the truth. So they took of their substance and they gave and they blessed the work of Yahweh. And so he said to them, the reason you did that because you know that there's a great reward for you. There's a great blessing for you. He says, now you've done this, he says to them, he said, now don't cast away your confidence, your boldness and the cheerfulness you've done those things. He said, don't cast that away. You understand his name doesn't cause you to cast away confidence. It causes you to have greater confidence. He said, don't cast away your confidence. Why, Shaul? Which hath great recompense of reward. Your confidence, he said, that has great recompense. That's a great reward of the reward of Almighty Yahweh. What you're doing, he said, don't lose perspective on that. Don't allow the enemy to destroy that. Don't think that you're doing these things in vain because they're not in vain. And the reason you know they're not in vain because life is going to end. I have to remind us of that, saints, because this life in the physical present form that you know is going to end. To the youngest that is in here, to the oldest, is going to end, saints. And every day of our lives, as we begin to come to the knowledge and truth, it is one thing that is a preparation. You ought to prepare to die. And in that dying, we live. In that dying, we live. And that's what we ought to do. Prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Get our spirits right. Cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness of the flesh. the filthy thoughts in our minds and began to perfect holiness. And the fear of the reverence, the fear of Yahweh, because if I don't live right and walk right according to this law that governs me, when I go beyond this law, then I am trying to cause an insurrection. I'm trying to overthrow the power. And we find ourselves trying to overthrow the power, but you can't overthrow Yahweh. You say, well, I don't think I have to do all that. He says, I told you what to do. Just do it. Don't backtalk me. What parent wants a child talking back to them? What mother wants a child, if it's anything that irates them, and that's a child talking back. And they find themselves unraveled that they will slap their heads off. Sure they will. Just don't talk back to me, boy. When I tell you to do something, do it. What daddy, what true father is going to tell his son to put his hand on the cleaver and he cut it off? No true father is going to do that. So don't talk back to me, boy. I tell you to clean up, you clean up. Don't ask me one question. If I tell you you can't wear that girl, that's it. It's settled. Don't come back and ask me again. This is a nation of compromising. You think he's going to compromise with us? You think we're going to get by as we would sing the old song, 99 and a half just won't do. 99.9. Well, we think it's a fallacy. We think it's a lie. But it's the truth. We must give him all. For he gave all. He showed us that. He said, I'm not holding one thing back. Not one thing. I'm giving everything. You see that? I'm giving everything. Whereby even when Messiah gave up the spirit, that Yahweh said, my, he even turned his back and darkness filled the earth. It did. In the midst of the noonday, darkness began to overtake the earth. He said, now I want you to understand that I gave everything. And in the midst of that darkness, this great light came forth out of the midst of the darkness of the grave and declared the mighty power of the Father for his spirit. For he has raised me up. And to show you there's only one that has the power to resurrect. And that is Yahweh. There's only one that has the power to show you that is the Father. And in this promise that I come to tell you of the promise that the Father said. Well, how does he do? He declares it by his name. He stakes his name on it. He puts his name on it. That you can rest assured in that. Not Buddha, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah Akbar, simply God is great. What God is great, Muslims? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. He said, for ye have need of patience now, that after ye have done the will now, you need patience. And patience come only by what? Tribulation and trial. He said you have need of patience after you have done the will. After you have done the will of Yahweh, ye might receive the promise. After you've done what he's commanded you to do, you might receive the promise. I want to touch on that a little bit. Let me finish this. He said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The Spirit of Yahweh shall have no pleasure in that man. But we are not of them who draw back unto hell or perdition. We're not those that are unto perdition like Judas. He said, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are those that believe to the saving of the whole body. The soul, the mind, the whole body. We're those that believe. Why? Because we know that there's a great recompense of rewards. And we do not cast away our confidence in Messiah. We can't cast away our confidence in Messiah. Well, Pastor Roberts, you're taking our confidence away from Messiah. You said the name Jesus is taken. No, I'm giving you an assurance in the confidence of Messiah. He came in the Father's name. He didn't come in a pagan name. He did not allow the heathens to name him. The Father named him. And he came in the power of the Father. That's what he came in. He did not allow these heathens to change his name. That's what they do. Your name is David. They call you Bean. Well, the heathens give me that name. Beanhead. They give you a name because of something you may do. You get. I recall why they gave me Beanhead. Because my mother, we could not go to the barber shop back then. And my mother would take a pair of scissors and cut my hair, and it looked a mess. She would just take it and cut it off. And it was a mess. I mean, it was a literal mess. You're ashamed to go outside. I was. Pluck here and everywhere. I said, boy, do you look a mess. And my brother would take a comb and a razor blade. And he would comb my head until he could get it all even. She messed it up, so he basically had to just cut it all off. Back then, it was not a popular thing to have a bald head. And so I would have to wear it bald. And they would just call me Beanhead because they would see my head. I was bald-headed. I couldn't go to the barber shop. So I looked a mess. And so the heathens, because we're heathens, they call Beanhead, Bean. So that's why they call me Beanhead. And so the heathens give you a last name. That's what they do. They give all their gods names. They give all their gods names. They give them heathen names. And so that's what they're trying to do. But you cannot give Yahweh his name. His name is already sealed as a memorial. It's an everlasting name. It doesn't change. And even in the kingdom, it's not going to change. And this world can't say it now. You're not going into the kingdom and saying it. I don't care. It's one thing that when you hear the truth, you don't harden your heart. You receive it. You receive the truth. And this is a generation today, what they do, they seek out men and those charlatans to give them things that will be more comfortable to them. And Yahweh never gives us anything to be comfortable. Because his word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, how do you get comfortable with a two-edged sword? It's sharper than a razor blade. It cuts. It separates too. That's what the word of Yahweh does. So he has no intentions for you to be comfortable. None. None whatsoever. He has every intention to cleanse you and to purge you. For there's a great reward when we serve the Father. Don't cast away your confidence. Abraham did not cast away his confidence, but Yahweh commanded him. He did not cast away his confidence. Not at all. Scripture says in Romans chapter 4. I want to show us something here. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 22. Shaul speaks with a profound utterance. He says, Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom ye believe, even Yahweh, who quickeneth or make alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, now he had faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In the midst of death, he brought forth life. He did not consider his body was dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, it says he staggered not at the promise of Yahweh. Not promise, it's just a promise. He staggered not at that one promise. And we can hold fast to the promise of Yahweh. He staggered not at the promise of Yahweh through unbelief. He did not fall because he didn't believe what the Father said. We fall because we have unbelief. But was strong in the faith, giving honor unto Yahweh. When a man doesn't stagger, he will give honor unto the Father. When he has confidence, he will give honor unto the Father. And in that honor, he recognized the mighty works of the Son. He doesn't deny the power of the works of Messiah. He doesn't deny that. You deny those works, you deny the Father. And when you deny those works, you don't even know the Father. And if you deny the Father, you don't know the works that were done in the body of Messiah. For he did a perfect work. He did a perfect work. For in that body and in that work were the promises of Almighty Yahweh. They were made full. But they were made known in a way that we could actually literally understand, perceive, and know them. And we could actually put them in our hearts and cause them to give us a great confidence. For we know in those promises there's a great reward of the Father. And we don't know the promise of Yahweh. Yahweh gave Abraham a great promise. He was dead. His wife was dead. He said, I'm going to bring forth a seed that she shall be the father of nations. And yet he did not even staggered that he said, I know he's able. I know that Yahweh is able. Who is able? Yahweh. He didn't even stumble at that. He said, I've got faith. I believe what you said. And I know if you said it, even though my hope doesn't even understand the power of what is going to be revealed, I know you're going to do it. And the strength of that thing manifesting is not that I don't believe that. It's simply believing it. I don't care how much my flesh fight against it. I'm going to believe what the Father says. I'm going to obey what he says. For there's a great recompense of reward, and we don't cast away our confidence. You can't cast it away. You're going to leave this earth. Your babies, your sons, your daughters, mothers, fathers. Don't you know there's only one important thing, and that is to prepare them to meet them, Baker. You prepare your life that they can see the light of the power of Yahweh shining in you. You mothers lifting your hands and your homes and blessing the Father that your children will see the power of this anointing upon you. You fathers as well. Abraham was dead, but he brought forth life. You can be dead in here, but he can bring forth life if you allow the Spirit of Yahweh to fill you. Sarah was dead, but he brought forth life out of a dead body. Sure he did. There's a great recompense of reward. We don't cast away our faith, our hope in him. He was fully persuaded that he, verse 21, and been fully persuaded that what he had promised, that's the beauty. What Yahweh had promised, he was able to perform it. But that's all right by me. He promised that, so he tells you, I promise you this because I can perform it. But it seems so insurmountable. It seems so surreal. I can perform it. That's why I want you to know I can perform it. That he was able to perform it. And therefore it was imputed or it was charged to him as righteousness. Just because he believed him. He was righteous. Don't you know that's how our righteousness is established? Because we believe him. We trust him. Yahweh is able to fulfill all his promise unto us. And he's going to do that unto those that will trust him and obey him. We must do the will of the Father. Obey what he commands us, saints. We must do that. For there is a great reward, a recompense. There's a great reward unto us when we obey him and do what he says. And everything the world teaches us today, it is to disobey the Father. To do something that is contrary. It teaches us to do things that are contrary to what the Father commands us to do. To do our own thing. To do what we want. We're no more our own. He has purchased us. Yahweh has. And so if he has bought us from the bondage and the darkness of sin, then he wants to put a law and a power of government in us that we will obey him and will bring forth an abundance and an exceedingly great amount of fruit. He wants to eat when he comes. And he doesn't want apples or fried chicken either. He doesn't want blueberry pie or ham hocks. He wants fruit. He wants fruit of righteousness. That's what he wants. He wants fruit of righteousness. And the only way the fruit of righteousness will come forth out of us is just simply one thing, obey. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. Just obey. Just do what he tells you to do. Why? Because I told you. Don't even ask me why. Just do what I told you. Do what I told you. Why? Because there's a great reward when you do what I tell you to do. There's a great blessing if you do what I tell you. Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 6. But the word of Yahweh is true. You can't get around it. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Let me read this quickly. Scripture says, for Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which he has shown to which you have shown toward his name. Now that's what it says. It says in the KJV, for God. Now our labor of love should be shown toward what? His name. Is that not what it says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10? It says, for God is not unrighteous. But Yahweh is not unrighteous. To forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward whose name now? Whose name? His name. Does it say that? Thy labor love must be shown toward his name. You have shown towards his name in that ye have ministered to the saints. That's what he said. He did not say to the sinners, but you ministered to the saints. You took care of the needs. You watched after the welfare of those that are called. That's what we'll call saints. Not a mockery term, Christians. We're saints. And do minister. He said, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now what you have began, as old Bishop would always tell us, he would always tell us that what you started, you make sure you finish that. The way you come, you stay that way. Now don't get in the process and begin to change what he said. So we show the same diligence to the full assurance because we have confidence. We have not cast away our confidence because there's a great reward. He said that ye be slothful now. He said you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what? The promise. The promises. For Yahweh, when Yahweh had made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sweared how? By himself. Saying, surely, blessed I will bless thee and multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation to them is an end of all strife. Wherein Yahweh willing more abundant to show unto his heirs a promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, enter in, even Messiah, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, so what he said, he gave us an oath. And he gave us an oath in the hope of that high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in that high priest, when he could not declare anything or make a confirmation, but by anything, he confirmed it by his name. And so he sent Messiah to confirm the oath unto his house. That the promise that I made unto you, there shall be a hope of resurrection. The dead of Messiah shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up. He said, I cannot lie. So I send you a promise in this body. I confirm it by an oath by myself. Well, who are you? I'm Yahweh. He confirms it by his name, the promise that I am able to promise you this. And in that promise, I am the one that rewards. He is the one that rewards us. That's right. Yahweh rewards us. Not man. I can't reward you. You can't reward yourself. Only Yahweh can reward you. Only Yahweh has the power to give you exceeding reward. And that's where we look for our reward from. We don't look for the reward from man. That's why I don't like accolades of praise. I bless you, Pastor Robinson. I understand that, but I don't like it. I want you to bless him. You honor him. You do that, that bless my heart above all things. You obey him. You submit unto him. That bless my heart above all things. I don't need no praises. I don't need no accolades. Believe me, I don't need that, and I don't want that. I want you to bless him. For there's a great recompense of reward by the oath that he has declared by who? I want to know the one that declared the oath. And that has the immutability whereby he is immune from lying. For his oath say he cannot lie. Well, how can he say that by his name he cannot lie? That alone. He can't lie. He cannot. And so he gave us a promise in Messiah. In him. He gave us an oath that he swore by himself. The word was made flesh. And it came down and we beheld the power, the majesty, and the honor of Almighty Yahweh in that body. In that body. In that body born of a virgin, Miriam. We beheld the power of Yahweh in that. And it's either the truth or it isn't that. And if it's the truth, then he had to come in what name that he was sent in. And he was sent in the Father's name. In the Father's precious name. He is the one that's going to reward our saints. Messiah shows us how to receive our heirship. Show us how to receive the promises of Almighty Yahweh. And that's through obedience. Obeying everything that he commands us to do. And doing it faithfully. Without any questioning or asking him why. Scripture says in Proverbs that the wicked work deceitful work. But the righteous, the scripture says they soweth righteousness. And because they do that, that is a sure reward for them. It was accounted unto him as righteousness because he believed the Father. And because we believe Yahweh, then it's a righteous thing, saints. It's accounted unto us as righteousness. He has not changed. We must believe what he said. We must obey what he said. And if we don't do what he said, then woe unto us. Because we believe him, it is accounting unto us as righteousness. Why do we believe him? Can I tell you why we better believe him? Because he can't lie. We have lied. We have said things to twist the truth and make the truth applicable for us to try to distort things in a way. We all are guilty of that one. And don't sit here and say, nah, that we have all done that. And it's wrong. He doesn't twist one scintilla of truth. He tell it as the old folks say, like it is. They like it is. He doesn't change one bit at all. He just tell you, you're a flat out wicked thing. And if you don't repent of your sins, you're going to die in them. He doesn't call you and say, well, you bad boy, David. But I still like you. No. I'm angry with you wicked folks every single day. You do righteousness, obey me, believe in me. That is what will exalt you. It is righteousness that exalt a nation. And sinners will reproach city people. It's a shameful thing. And this nation is a shameful nation. All of its sins, its bigotry, its lies, its prejudice from blacks, from whites, from Jews, from Asians, from Mexicans. It is a melting pot of trash and filth. And the only thing that's going to filter it out is the truth of Almighty Yahweh telling man his heart, his sins, that he must identify them. You understand this great reward? You would identify your sins and say, help me. Help me, Yahweh. That's right. Yeah, I say that because he's a very present help. He's a very present help. And his word is always, and it always ought to be present. Present in your mind. Present on your bedside. Present by you, whether you got it in your thoughts or in your mind, you ought to be able to pick up the book and keep it present and refresh you. Stir up the pure hope that's in you. Just read the scripture and cause you to remember what he's done. What he's done. He brought you out and he made you a promise. He brought you out of sin. And all of our ignorance, he brought us out of sin. Don't you understand that the metaphor of what Egypt went through is the same thing was today? He brought them out of Egypt, didn't he? And they went right back and built their own gods. And they began to say, we've all done that. We built our gods, our families, our things, our television, our cars, our home. We've done all those things. We can sit in our hypocrisy and say we haven't, but that's a lie from hell. We went out with a great amount of zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. We just had a great zeal. And we began to say, well, the Lord said this, the Lord God said this, and God, because we have been told those things. It was not that we knew them because of an experience. We have been told and we've been trained to think that way, and we thought that way. How do you think the communists trained all the folks in the communist black country? They got them from children. They trained them. They taught them, and they believed just what they were taught. And that's what we have believed, this pagan lie and these pagan doctrines we have been taught. It's time now that Yahweh is going to cause his voice to reverberate throughout the world. I pray with the man of Yahweh, who I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's that tall. Speak it, man. I'll put your bonus. If he's that high, speak it. I will pledge my support to who the man is. To who he is. To speak it. who caused this nation and the world to burn with the anger and the fire of Yahweh. He's going to burn it. Because they take the promise of Yahweh as nothing. What a great promise of Messiah. And that promise is life. And that promise is health. And that promise is strength. Is that promise is everlasting life. And we take that for granted. There's a great reward in that promise. There's a great reward in that promise. There's a resurrection in that promise. There's an eternal bowl in the kingdom of Yahweh in that promise. We take that for granted. We're fools. You say that's not so? Allah. When you find that gem, you sell everything. You sell everything. I want that. I want to buy that truth. What do you have? Don't have no money. All I got is my soul, my heart, my... Give me that. I want that anyway. Don't want your money. You give me that, I'll make sure you have money. I'll take care of you on that end. That's what he wants. That's what the Father wants. He's given us an exceedingly great promise. What is a greater promise than Messiah? In that promise is the hope of everything that Yahweh promised us in that body. What is anything exceedingly greater than that? I'd rather have that than have the riches. I'd rather have that than have Bill Gates' fortune. I'd rather have that than have Oprah's 3 billion. I'd rather have the promise in that. I'd rather have that promise because there's an exceedingly great reward in that promise. He's already shown me by his immutability. He's already raised him up. And he got up. No death, grave, or nothing could hold him down. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Death didn't hold back the promise of Yahweh. Abraham's body was dead and Sarah's body was dead. And yet the seed of life came forth. It didn't hold back the promise of Yahweh. He made the impossibilities possible. Because if he's speaking, it's so. I don't care how it seems or sounds. It's so. He says it. There's no lie in it. Because it's pure. And every word that he speaks is pure. Every word. Shaul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. He says, 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach this message, this truth, I have nothing to exalt myself in or to boast in or to boast of. He said, the reason why, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not this truth or this message. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly. See, if you just do what he tells you willingly, saint. He said, I have a reward. If you just do it willingly, there is a great reward. The reason we don't receive great rewards is because we don't do it willingly. We must be compelled and coerced. He said, if I do this thing willingly, if I witness to this truth willingly, if I just do it with a willing heart, it's because my heart is willing. If I suffer with him willingly, there's a great reward for me. He said, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of this message is committed unto me. Verse 18, what is my reward then? What is it? Verily that when I preach this message, I may make the message of Messiah without charge. And that I abuse not my power in this message. He said, I won't need a salary. When I came among you, I labored with my own hands. I did work. I was not chargeable unto any of you brothers. He said, I will do it without charge. You can't find him today to do it without charge. Precious brother called me from Detroit, Michigan. He's in an apostolic whorehouse. He said to me, Pastor Robert, he said, Yahweh began to deal with my heart, and I wanted to know, who is this one? We call him God, but what is his name? I want to know, he said, in our apostolic whorehouse, he said, before they baptized, they got this stature. He said, I mean, we literally have a stature of Jesus, and it stands over the baptismary. I say, it's pagan. It is not of Yahweh. He says, nothing but relics of this whorehouse, the Catholic Church. Nothing but that relic of the Catholic Church. Very precious brother. I said to him, brother, you're going to suffer much now. And you're going to lose much. Because you always open your heart to this truth. And he knows it's the truth. He said he has to have a name. It just can't be God. He said because there are many gods. He said, can't be Lord because there's lords in London. There's lords in Britain. He said, it can't be. So he has to have a distinct position. You tell me he created all his positions not distinct from everything. It is totally different. It is. That's why you call the king the king. He is the king. There's no one else president of the United States. Or he may be president of a corporation. But Mr. George Bush is the president of the United States of America. And everywhere he goes, he's honored. Everywhere. 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 There's pomp and circumstance. They pull out their bets. Yes, they do. They pull out their honor guards. And every man stands at attention. Now, one twinkle in his nose. Every mustache is trimmed right. Every shoe is polished to the highest degree. And he goes, he looks at them and he does a review. That's why he does a review and says, that's all right. Good. Sure. And that's the way Yahweh is. He comes to look at his honor guards at times. He wants to see how we're guarding the truth. How we're guarding the precious pearl. How we're guarding his truth, saints. Are we truly guarding it? Are we selling it for frivolous, fleshly experience? Are we doing that? This whole world is taken on a great demise. It's on its way to hell. Because it doesn't love Yahweh. The preachers are being paid. The brother said to me, he said, Pastor Roberts, they do nothing today unless you pay them. 40, 50,000, you got to pay the musicians. You got to pay the preachers. You got to pay everybody today. He said, they will do nothing unless you pay them. I said, it's not of Yahweh, brother. The spirit of hell is not the spirit of Yahweh. We have a reward. That's a great reward for us. What is our reward if we do this because someone beats you with a stick and compels you to do it? There is no reward. You must do it willingly. You say, I love to do it. Well, I don't like living here. I want to show you something. Scripture says here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. For faith, Moshe, when he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm not your son. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to endure the pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin for a season. I'm telling you, saints, anytime you set your eyes for some pleasures because sin is there. Look at this now. He chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? He esteemed, he exalted the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that there was a great reward to suffer with the people of Yahweh. He knew there was a great reward. Since there's a great reward to suffer with the people of Yahweh. There's a tremendous reward to suffer with them. There's no reward if you don't suffer with them. So Moshe said, well, there's a great reward. I'd rather suffer with them. I can enjoy the house of Pharaoh. I can enjoy the riches I can have. I can have a chariot of men guard me everywhere I go. I can have riches, I can array myself in the gale of gold and the riches of the garments, but I'd rather go with those people there. Because they have something on them that Egypt doesn't possess. And I want to be with those people, so I denounce all the things of Egypt. I don't want the pleasures of sin. I want to be with that house because I see the zeal and the seal of Yahweh upon it. So he denounced the riches. And he chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh because he knew that there's a great reward. That's why I'd rather suffer with us. There's a great reward to suffer with the people of Yahweh. That you deny yourself of certain things and suffer with them. It takes faith to do it. That's why folks can't do it. They don't have faith. They say they have faith, but they are liars. Moshe was a man of faith. That's why he walked by faith. They believed Yahweh. So he suffered. He chose rather. He took faith. Yeah, it takes faith. They're lying dogs. They don't know Yahweh. They want a hireling. They promise them lies in this life. I assure you the reward of Yahweh, saint, that is greater than a house in this life. I don't care what kind of house. They give me a 50-room mansion. There's a mansion in the city. Do you hear me? Doesn't need any sun to shine because the sun, the righteous power of Yahweh illuminates the place. Hallelujah. Don't need no moon at all, not one bit of night, because it won't be no day or night. It will just be the presence of Almighty Yahweh. They promise you trinkets and things in this life, but Yahweh said there's a great reward. You suffer. You choose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Well, I've lost mom and daddy, but that's all right. You suffer with the people of Yahweh. I've lost son and daughter. You still suffer with the people of Yahweh. I've lost my cousins and kinsmen, but you still suffer with the people of Yahweh. And you suffer the reproach. Let them speak shamefully of you. Let them say the things that got you. But Moshe chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh. Let them enjoy their bad cutting, their pig feet, and their Thanksgiving dinners, and their Christmas lies, and their pig and Easter tailors. He chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh because he had great respect to the reward that shall come. That's why they can't suffer, because they don't believe the Father. They're liars. They're liars. On their way to hell. They have no idea what truth is. They have no understanding of truth. You're going to need a preacher in this hour. He's going to come from the Father. He's going to give men after his heart. And they're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. You're not going on your own. Because he didn't allow Messiah to go on his own. He gave him 12 apostles. They forsook him. And yet in the midst of the grave, the Father was still there. In the death, he was assured that the words of his Father were finished because he said, it is finished. I know it is finished. It is finished. It's finished. The works are finished. And the reward is great unto them that believe and receive the finished works. So they set forth their own little agenda. They establish their own little whorehouses. They go into hell. And they find someone that preaches something that's appetite to them. They can receive that. Messiah spoke. He fed 5,000 or more. Took a few fish and a few loaves of bread and they all ate. And he began to deal with their sins. Told them, you got to give up everything for me. And yet they all turned and they walked no more. And yet he turned to the 12 and said, will you go with us? He said, and they said, where else can we go? Who else has the bread of life? These folks are not eating the bread of life. They're eating sin. They're in their corruption. They're in their sins. There's no reward for them, but the reward of the wicked, and that is hell, and the terror of Almighty Yahweh. And that is the truth. Your brother wrote me today and he said, Pastor Roberts, he said, I listened the short way from scan to scan. I watched television. He said, there ain't one preacher that I've heard that profoundly proclaimed this truth and speak it with such boldness the way you do. And he said, you're not afraid to tell the truth. You have all these other men, they got a shallow truth. They will talk about the name, but it's more than the name. The name is the holiness and the power of Yahweh. We got to get to the fullness of the name. And that is to live the name, because the name is Him. He said, fall at peace with all men. Holiness without no man can see Him. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. For His name is holy. If He's holy, His name is holy. His garments are holy. Everything He does is holy. We got to go beyond that. When you understand the power of His purity and His righteous rewards, then you'll rejoice in that, knowing who is the one that promised those things. You're going to need all that. They don't know the Father. There are few. Few that know Him. He went in Sodom and nobody knew Him. And all the surrounding plains. Well, we'll look different in Sodom. You are absolutely right. We're much more wicked than Sodom. We're a vile generation. He did not spare one of those little 40 bad younger that said to Elijah, go ahead, ye bald head. He killed every last one of them. And that's what these rebellious ones are saying today. Huh? He's going to destroy them. There's a reward to the wicked. And the scripture talks about that too. Sure it is. He had great respect for the recompense of reward. He knew that there was a great reward that he would receive. He knew that. There was a great reward to suffer with the people of Yahweh. I'd rather suffer with you if there's nobody but you. Who? Just you. We will suffer together for His name's sake. Why? So men will know that we are His disciples. For we have love one toward the other. So if nobody suffers but you and me, we will suffer. Who? You and me. We will suffer together. Hallelujah. I want to close with this verse here. I want to show you how to receive a tremendous blessing. The flesh is against this. These are the blessings of Yahweh. Lucas chapter 6 verse 22. He said, blessed Are ye when men shall hate you? Or when they shall separate you from their company? And shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil? For the Son of Man's sake. He said, rejoice ye in that day. See, he told you to do that. Did he tell you to do something else? Leap for joy. He said, leap for joy. He said, behold, your reward is what?
Great.
It's good they say that. Your reward is great. Let them talk. I will not rescind the name of Yahweh. That magazine that some of you all received from the house of Yahweh, I simply opened it up this morning. And there in the midst of that, because I've been doing a study on the word God. Now, I know there are other brothers that know this information. This is not something new. But he says in there, God, Yahweh is not God. There is nowhere in scripture where he says he's God. That is not him. That is not his name nor his title. And I have researched the word God out. I'm telling you, that is a lie. The word Lord. I'm telling you, saints. And I will begin a series of teachings on that. I will show you. You can reject it all you want to. But it's still the truth. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. Do you know anything about the Civil War? Was there a war called the Civil War of the states in the Union? It's the truth, isn't it? You can reject that all you want to, but it's still the truth. Was that nation called Rome, and it was such a powerful nation that it ruled the whole world, that the sun never set on the Roman Empire? You can deny it all you want to, it was still the truth. You can deny the different pharaohs of Egypt, but it's truth. Historical evidence proves it out to be true. So you can deny it all you want to, but it's still the truth. So it's his name, it's still the truth. And man has changed it too. They have. Messiah says, he said, you rejoice and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophet. He said, and he tells us about it. He said, but love ye your enemies. Love them. You understand what he's saying? You don't do them evil. You don't do them wrong. You don't fight against them. He said, love your enemies and do good. And then hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He said, you just do right. Do you understand that the wicked doesn't even realize he's kind to them? He's blessed them with another day, with life. And they don't realize that you're always kind to them. They don't realize he's good to them. And that's why they're unthankful, they're not thankful. Something is wrong, saints, when this world... the most important thing to America on Friday, that's why they call it Black Friday. Do you understand what black and red is in the corporate world? Black means that they're over. They're making money. Red is mean that they're actually bleeding. They're losing money. They're bleeding out of every hole. And that's why they call that day after Thanksgiving Black Friday. It is the day that the merchants, the average day, they spend $8 billion. The average Black Friday is $8 billion on trinkets and trash. That's folly. I don't even like to buy anything this time of the year. First thing you think, somebody Christmas present, I don't even answer the fools. I don't even respond. I don't say a thing. Buy all these turkeys? So I got big sons to feed. How many sons you got? I said, they're big men. So we eat. Got to feed them. Or you going to have a Christmas dinner? No, I got sons to feed. That's what I do. We're going to eat these turkeys. Your business, heifer. None of your business. You don't need to know. They call it Black Friday. Black Friday. That's the day that 95% of the corporate America retailers, they make their monies that day. Between pagan Thanksgiving and pagan Christmas, they fall or they go over. That's what it is. Are you telling me that's blessing their baby Jesus? These wicked dogs, and they won't even give a tithe or a nickel during that time. That is the time of the year that all what we call whole houses, they suffer that time of the year. Tithes fall down. Offerings fall down. And so what most of them are now, they geared up because most of them now, when they get the income tax checks, in the old days, they would give that to give a great portion. Now they got to use that to pay some of the credit cards out. It's a nation in mess. It's a wicked nation. You don't be a part of any of it. Don't participate in the cooking. Don't do anything. Don't receive the gifts or nothing, the cards. I would open up a box they sent me. Man gave me a gift one time. I threw it right there. No, never opened it up. When I moved from the place, the old enemy said, well, you'll open it up. It may be $1 million. I said, no, he don't have $1 million to give me, so I know that ain't in there. He was poor. He didn't have much to give me, so I just throw it on the trash. I will not allow that spirit to grab hold of me. It's wicked. It's satanic. It is the birth of the power of darkness. And folks love this time of year. Oh, Merry Christmas, baby Jesus. Yes. They don't know Messiah. They know the baby Jesus because he's the epitome of Samaria. The son. Had his daddy's wife. That's what they celebrate their pagan days. It is not of Yahweh. I'm just flat out telling you. And I'm telling you, all the folks that, you know, Yahweh, there have been many that he brought to a certain level of truth. They begin to gradually go back to those little things. They don't just do it overnight, just a little bit of time. A little bit of time. Take a little bit of that. Take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, they will. Oh, they will. Sit down with the turkey dinner on Thursday. Christmas Day, they get together. And all of them, I wouldn't do it. We don't participate in these things. I don't care if it's for mama, for grandmama, for granddaddy. Daddy's mama, I wouldn't do it. That's the truth. How can you be a partaker of those satanic things that have been based on the self-righteousness of man when they won't even do what Yahweh tells them? When they don't even honor, even keep in thought the feast days of Yahweh? How can you do that? That's wrong, saints. It's flat. It's more emphasis on Easter. Thanksgiving, they keep the people bound. As soon as Thanksgiving over, Christmas. Christmas, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, Mama's Day. Mama's Day, Daddy's Day. Just a bunch of trash. And all between that, birthdays and every kind of whore day it is. He tells us what things to remember. He never told you to remember your birthday, your anniversary and all that, because it always brings about a spirit of pride. What do you want to eat for your anniversary? I eat just what I've been eating. I've never been one that given any of those kinds of things. I've never liked them. Never. Anniversary doesn't mean nothing. There's only one anniversary I'm looking for. And that's the eternal one. That's the one. I don't care about the other ones. I don't care how Sister Robert feel about those kinds of things. Birthday don't mean nothing. All these years we've been married, really never hardly gotten anything for a birthday. Never. It's not of your way. That's one thing he wants to remember, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Messiah. That's more than anything. Passover. See, that's the most important. In that death, there's the hope of resurrection. May Yahweh bless you. Put us up there. We give you strength and peace. He calls you out to rejoice. My heart is rejoicing today. I bless him. I thank him for all things. He is good. My constant prayer, honestly, I pray this prayer. Father, raise up the man of Yahweh in this nation. Kill the brothers. Let him stand. And give him an outlet and an outreach to the people. That he may speak profoundly. With a tremendous voice, with truth. I'm not talking about how he speaks. I'm not talking about the eloquence of his speech. Not any of that. I don't care how vociferous he is, how loud he can speak like this. But there's one thing about truth. I don't care how it's spoken. It's a beautiful thing. As a brother, I listened to a message the other day, brother Pastor Bob in Ohio. I wrote the brother. He wrote me back. We kind of talked with each other. He preached one of the most profound messages I've heard on the name. It is such as he talks just like this the whole message. And he shows you scripture, a preponderance of evidence, how easily it can be understood. I asked him, I said, I want to put that on our little radio station we have here for the community. He said, Pastor, anything you want, you take it. Now, that's the way it should be. Men call me and say, oh, what can I take? I said, you take anything off that. I don't own nothing. We have you take everything. And that little book we compose, I don't put that on the internet. I put it out. I want to have you a little contact. So I tell them, you write me or send me an email. We'll send you the book. That's all it is. I don't want to let you just write me. I don't want them to read it on the internet. I want them to write me. I want some kind of a response. Give it to you free. I don't want it. That's what we compose the thing. Just send it out. I bless you all for that. Thank you, sisters, for your labor. Sister Rivadna, Sister Dean, all of them, Sister Deborah, how they labor, take time to do those things. It's good. I bless you all for that. Yeah, that was coming where you're not going to worship Yahweh in the mountains or any other place. Those that worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. At some point you see the mountaintop, look there, there he is, where, there. Yeah, just, I like to look up. Well, last hour I came to prayer, I just looked out, it was a clear night. Of course, it's not a full moon, but it was a bright night. And just look at the expanse of what he has done. Who is the one who created this? I want to know the one that did all this. Tell me your name, man. If you see a big old beautiful picture of some beautiful drawing or something, you would say, who did that? Yes, you would. And they say, man, man. What do you mean, man? Man? What's his name, man? No, his name is Yahweh. What a stroke he painted to. You look at those leaves on the tree, I just look at that and say, man, boy, in their death, boy, look at the beauty of them. Ain't nothing like them pretty gold leaves and red. That's their death. And the reason they fall off because there's a new bud coming out. You want to take that? Totally. That's why they fall off. Boom. And life says you got to go. But you look at all them pretty leaves in their death. Look at the beauty. Most pretty colors you want to see in death. In death. What a day, what a time it's going to be when we all see him. Hallelujah. So I'm living for that. There's nothing I want in this life. Nothing. Ain't nothing I desire. Nothing I desire to have. Nothing. And the older I get, it makes it even more limited to what I want. Bless you all, saints. Father, we thank you for all things. Bless you very much. I just thank you. God, we bless you.